I kept thinking the groceries are gonna bang her and she's gonna realize the value of like, you know, what you have and
Groceries.
like the value of groceries. Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
It is just the best that you could come by today. That is Sarah, and she loves books.
And that's Hope, and she loves talking to me, period, about books.
True. Talking to
Talking,
Sarah. Talking to Sarah about books.
to Sarah about gossip, talking to Sarah about basketball and her dogs,
Talking to my dogs like they're people.
talking to anything and everyone.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know what this little podcast is about, each episode I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope, who has not read them. And I want, now I feel like we've gotten in the pattern of not putting the names on here because we share a document for these episodes.
Yes, we do.
And sometimes I just feel like the title of the episode gives it away, you know?
That's true. I have no idea what this is going to be about based on my research.
No, this really is going to be a left fielder for you. But before we do, I have a little surprise for
Ooh.
you and for our audience.
Oh.
I started a Blue Sky account
Wow.
because I mean, literally, I think when we started this podcast, we were like, we'll start a Twitter account, but like, it's a cesspool. Like, do we really want to be on there? And then I've been seeing all these videos of people being like, oh my God, like Blue Sky is where it's all at, like yada yada for the book people. And like, it's where politically conscious and active readers are. And I was like, oh, well, we might as well get on there with our smut.
I think that's the place to be.
Our handle on Blue Sky is the same as Instagram and TikTok at Say Smut Podcast.
Amazing.
And if you want to see like photos that our lovely host Hope draws of our love interests, because I'm sure you're going to do one today.
Yeah, I could not last time, or I
You
drew a
tried.
drawing. It was just not appropriate, and it was more because I was trying to understand logistics. It's not important.
The logistical sex position of what we were getting at. And so if you want to see that, if you want to see my recommendations, also, if you don't follow us on Instagram, sometimes I just become completely unhinged and I post all of my reviews of everything I read over the weekend, which I completed 5 books this weekend.
That's
Two of
crazy.
them I was reading last week into Friday and completed them on Friday, and then three of them I listened to.
Amazing.
Okay.
That's such a, I don't know the, well, I guess I've read books for the podcast,
Yes.
haven't I? So I guess the
Yes.
last time I finished a book was for the podcast, but like
But
a
you've been
concrete,
crafting.
I have been crafting. That's basically all my free time right now is going to crafts.
Yes. And I've been so impressed with, can I share pictures of your crafting?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll share pictures of Hope's crafting because what would you call it? It's like beadwork.
Yeah, it's essentially I'm beading dog portraits on my felt
That's so fun.
because I can, because why
Yeah.
not?
Yeah. Well, we will share those, what you're crafting. And we will also keep sharing my reviews, which, by the way, I just want to brag about this one to you because I know you'll love it. We're not going to do it for the podcast because it's a closed door romance. So none of the spice happens on the page. It's all alluded to. But do you remember the 1994 classic, The Santa Claus,
Of
with
course I
Tim
do.
Allen, right? Tim
Do
Allen.
I remember the Santa Claus?
Okay, picture that, but instead, it's two gay men who are married to each other and their marriage is in trouble.
Oh no.
And one of them accidentally gets the role of Santa Claus. And so they move
Oh.
to the North Pole for a year to save their marriage while one of them is Santa Claus and the other one's figuring out his life.
Wow. I mean, that sounds great.
No, it was so good. It's called The Merriest Misters. It just came out like a couple weeks ago. The audiobook is probably 9, 10 hours, so it's really short compared to like, you know, the normal 14, 15-hour one. But it was so full of holiday cheer. I do wish I would have gotten spice. But again, there was a lot of like alluding to like they were in a hot tub and then, you know, they get frisky after the gingerbread contest. But like they're.
Nothing gets people frisky on this podcast quite like gingerbread.
Okay, Hope, I was at book club this week.
Yes.
And I'm 99% sure none of the women in my book club listen to our podcast. But if you do, you were there for this conversation. But they were asking me about the podcast and how we were doing, what we're up to. And I was telling them about some of our recent, I was like, yeah, we've got some really fun stuff we've been doing. You know, we had Corn Daddy. Mm-hmm. We recently did a hockey stick smut. Mm-hmm. And they were like, gobsmacked. And I was like, do you guys not understand that, like, this is, and they're like, I can't believe people write this shit. And I was like, no, this is like the pinnacle of what we love. Like, it's like
the best of the best.
Yes. Yes. And then, like, I was reading off some of the titles to them and they were just cracking up. And I was like, look, half of this is like, just actually all of it has to be for the love of it. No one's making it on the New York Times bestseller list as much as we wish they would.
True.
With this smut, but it is a good time. Okay. And that leads me to our current read for this week. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, like I said, I mean, just to wrap up that whole concept, please go follow us on at Say Smut Podcast at wherever, like, you know, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
Blue Sky. Not really Twitter. We're still technically on there. I don't think I've posted on there for months, maybe a year. So with that said, let's jump into today's book, which is going to be revealed as soon as I say the title.
Mm-hmm,
okay. Mm-hmm. It's called Bagged by the Groceries by Fanny Tucker.
Wow. Wow.
What? That didn't sound enthusiastic.
It's not. No, I'm thrilled. I just don't understand how it relates to my topic.
I'm sure. Because this one actually, like, because some of them you've been able to kind of parse out.
Yes.
You know, where we're going with things. This one kind of went... How do I want to say this? It like went like mini viral on TikTok because there are these creators who essentially do what we do, which is they're like, I read this book so you don't have to. Whereas we say, I read this book so either you don't have to or you should go read it because we had a blast.
Right. Yeah. Right? Or if you're ready for buckets of fun, absolutely read this crazy book.
Exactly. So we also, you know, I think half of our job is like amplifying these wonderful authors who come up with some really cool pieces of art that we get to share with everyone else. And we get to encourage everyone to go embrace them. Right.
Right.
Would you say that's true?
I would say that's true.
Half of our job. Actually, I wouldn't even say half and half. I would say it's like 75% that. And then 25% like we read this so you don't have to. Right. Like,
sure.
I'm taking a pessimistic look at it. And there's been few books that have been like that. And this, in my POV, is one of those books that the concept is so fun, but there are so many red flags. And we will dive into that in a second. But before we do, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Fanny, our author. I guess I should content warning first before we jump in too far. We do have elitism to the max, okay? We have a hella elitism. We have small references to pregnancy. We do have reference to infidelity, and we have sexual content as always. On StoryGraph, I always find it, you know, fascinating the difference in ratings between StoryGraph and Goodreads.
Mm-hmm.
But typically they're pretty close together. Normally they're
usually they're around about within each other.
Well, this has on StoryGraph a 2.34 and on Goodreads a 2.43.
Interesting.
So not good from the start, but we've had some low ones, you know, that we've ranked high on our scales.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I behold beauty in every book we read.
You do. I think you're gonna have a hard time with this one.
I don't know. I think that I'm usually pretty thrilled.
Okay. Okay. All right. So this is about the author from her Amazon account, I believe. Fanny Tucker likes driving too fast, cussing too loud, and writing stories that explore sexual fantasies of strong women rendered powerless by lust-filled men and monsters. She seeks to give her readers fresh, original stories that sometimes shock, always titillate, and leave them guessing until the very end. She first discovered her talent for steamy prose while passing dirty notes to her boyfriend during English 201. Mm. When her professor confiscated one of her notes, he kept her after class and recommended a new and interesting line of work. She never looked back. And I don't know if I've watched that porno.
So wait. Teacher held her back after class and was like, you gotta publish this.
You've got to publish this, but a grocery version.
Forget about your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or make this for everyone.
We've got questions, Fanny. Okay. Fanny is the author of over 180 works of steamy horror, romance, and adventure ranging from the kinky to the downright weird. She lives in California with her husband and a dachshund who rules them both. Mm. We understand that life. Yeah. Okay. Are you ready to jump in, my friend?
I'm ready.
You've got a beer?
No, it's not a beer. It's ginger ale.
You should have forewarned me. I would have come with a beer too. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm a bisexual, so I feel like I need to have like 5 drinks at all times.
First of all, you should always have a variety of drinks around you at all times. Yes. So.
Yes. Fair, fair. Okay. Next time we're bringing beers. Okay.
Beers for sure.
So. My question to you is, have you ever forgotten a very important date or event in your life?
Not something as critical as, say, like an anniversary or like a loved one's birthday, but I do have a tendency to get told about like family gatherings that are going to happen a few months out from when they're happening. Like, we're all going to your sister's house for this thing, or we're all going to Durant for this thing. Like, I will at least it's notorious to me because I'm the one who forgets. I will just forget completely until like the week of, midway through the week of, and then remember that I need to do that and then have to plan for it. And in that way, yes, I forget all the time.
Yeah, I would say I'm very similar. I'm somebody who puts birthdays in my calendar phone and like big dates in my calendar phone. But then like if somebody's getting surgery in 2 weeks, I'm putting it in my calendar phone. But like if the family's like, hey, we should get together next Sunday, I'm like, that's another concept. I'll think about that later. And then it's next Sunday and I'm like, shit, we're supposed to be getting together today. Well, let's jump to our main character, Ashley. She's got a full cart of groceries, full of food, and she's pushing this cart to her car. And all the food is for her husband's favorite meal that she's going to make for them for their anniversary dinner. Would you like to select a meal that they're going to have? What do you think they're going to make? I mean, like, I don't have one. They didn't distinguish what she was going to make, but.
Oh, okay. So like on instinct, I would think of an anniversary meal that is like steak and maybe like a green bean, or perhaps like a kale salad situation, or maybe asparagus, and a potato of some kind, and a bottle of wine. But because this is a book about being bagged by groceries, I now have to assume it's just exclusively phallic vegetables and other phallic foods.
That's
hot
fair.
Dogs, zucchini. We got bananas.
Okay.
Just baguettes. Yes. Just really long. Everything is long.
Everything is long. Uh-huh. And could be used as a.
None of it makes a complete meal, but all of it could be phallic.
And I want to give it, let's say for the sake of this story, that you're right. It's a steak. She's got some greens on the side. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've got a kale salad to start. Maybe she gets a little dessert action, right? Yeah. And let's say because she's at the grocery store, she got some extra goodies. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? She needed cereal the next morning, whatever. Mm-hmm. This will come back into play later, but let's say for the sake of our imagination that you are right. It's a steak of some sort. Sure. There's some sides, like, but it all is cohesive, right? It all makes sense.
Yes. It's a complete meal. Together.
Like I had ingredients the other day to make a spaghetti, and I went to the checkout and I was like, it's so obvious I'm making spaghetti. Like, you know what I mean?
If this was a quiz for the cashier, they would surely get it right.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's pushing her cart and she's trying to make it back to her car, and she gets a text from her husband, Blake, that says he's going out for drinks with clients that night instead. And she's like, fuck. Okay. Did he forget our anniversary, or does he just like not care? So she's a little in her emotions. Mm-hmm. She's staring down at this text. She's so distracted by it that she hits an old woman in the parking lot. And the woman like stumbles back and hits a car, like, you know, stumbles back into the car trunk, right, of some nearby car. And I should, I'm going to hate what's coming next. And I know you are too. So like, buckle in. Uh-huh. Okay. So she hits this old woman, and this woman is very old and very dirty.
Oh.
And is probably not in Ashley's tax bracket.
Sure.
And so Ashley immediately looks up and is like, I'm so sorry. And she goes to like stable her, but then she realizes she's like old and maybe homeless. And she's like, ew.
That sucks, Ashley.
No, Ashley, you suck. This is only going to get worse. Okay. So Ashley makes an internal comment about how, quote, this used to be a nice neighborhood.
Oh, no.
But then quickly follows up by saying, this is her internal dialogue, I should emphasize. She's not saying this out loud to the woman.
That would be
Ashley's rude, but not that rude. I mean,
that would be a real white woman thing to do, but
okay, hold on. It just gets worse, because Ashley then quickly follows up in her internal dialogue by saying that she's not a snob, but, quote, homelessness and poverty that had infested New Orleans in the wake of Katrina had mixed the city's disparate elements like a steaming pot of etouffee. First of all,
etouffee.
I don't know. I'm not French, but it sounded something like that.
I know this is not a visual medium, but if my eyebrows being raised could make a noise, it would have been really loud the whole time. You were saying,
yeah, because that was the fact that she brought Katrina into this, and then was like, it's like essentially a cesspool. Like that's like. So gross to me. And don't worry, she's gonna triple down on this concept.
No.
So and then Ashley talks about how that she, like, you know, she reached out to help the woman, and now her hand feels dirty from even touching her.
Yuck, that's so messed up. The woman
she just hit that's with her cart.
So gross.
Ma'am, you hit her with your cart.
Well, yeah, first of all, you should be, and maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
I just don't know. This is all very upsetting.
Yeah, no. We're going to keep going down this hole.
Keep joking. So I'm ready.
The woman says that if Ashley maybe gave her, because like Ashley's still kind of like, I mean, she's gross, but I'll still say sorry, you know? And the woman goes like, if Ashley gives her a little bit of money, you know, something for dinner, everything will be forgiven. And then Ashley gets so upset thinking that this woman purposely threw herself in front of the cart just to get something from her.
Wow.
And she says that the woman, she says to the woman, I have nothing for you. Like with this giant thing of groceries in front of her, she's like, I've got nothing for you.
That gave me actual whiplash because it was like, ew, I feel bad. Maybe if I do this, it will like negate the bad thing I did. Wait, I can't believe she used me to get stuff from me. Now I'm mad again and I don't want to give her anything.
What? Okay, so then she internally wonders why her and Blake hadn't moved to the suburbs where they wouldn't have to deal with this kind of thing anymore. We all understand Ashley is like an elitist prick, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, what made you think that when you were reading?
Yeah. The woman says, quote, also, I hate to tell you that obviously we all know that New Orleans is a predominantly Black community, a very, very Black community that has Haitian roots, has a lot of culture in, they never describe what the old woman looks like, but I'm going to read the quote from the book of what the woman says.
Oh boy.
And it's very, very much slang that would make you interpret that possibly this could be a person of color. Okay. Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Quote, you want them groceries. That's just fine, girl. You're going to get them groceries. Okay. And that quote's very important. It will keep popping up later on. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Ashley walks away while the woman is like cackling in the background. And again, it just gets worse because you think, okay, we're going to move on from this subject. But Ashley goes home and is unloading her groceries and thinking about that woman. And she mutters, quote, crazy old biddy should go get some food stamps, end quote.
Oh my gosh.
Do you see now why I think we're going to hate this book?
Yeah, that part, this isn't great. But I can only admit, I have a running theory about maybe what's happening.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you one more assholey comment, okay? Before I'm going to let you tell the theory, okay?
Okay.
Then goes on to say the grossest comment, quote, she and Blake paid enough taxes each year to feed several families. The homeless woman in the grocery store parking lot had no right to make her feel ashamed.
Wow.
I literally can't hate Ashley any more than I currently do.
Well, what I hope is about to happen to Ashley is that the lady she ran into is like magical and some kind of witch or some kind of, I mean, I feel like I know now, so I don't want to give it away. Some kind of a mystical entity who is going to curse her
slowly. This is a
fucked by her groceries question mark?
So this is an audio medium and I've been nodding my head this whole time.
Great.
But here's what I wish you I knew at this point though, from a writing perspective, I kept thinking the groceries are gonna bang her and she's gonna realize the value of, like, you know, what you have
groceries.
And like
the value of groceries.
I thought that there would be a redemptive arc though. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Like it would just be a mean lady who gets fucked by groceries.
Or like she, like, because most of our stuff, they learn a lesson, right?
Sure. And sometimes
this felt so unnecessary for Ashley to be this bitchy and this elitist.
No. Well,
because I'm gonna let you know, she doesn't ever come back to this point whatsoever. She doesn't learn any lesson. No. She doesn't. It pisses me off that the author wrote this whole, she wrote offensive things about like people being poor because of Katrina and like because of how the government has screwed us as citizens. And then she was like, all right, let's get to fucking. So now that I've gotten off my soapbox, would you like to hear what happens next?
Yes, always.
Okay. So I should also note, just on, if anybody was wondering how much money that her and her husband have, she's a stay-at-home wife and Blake is a junior partner at a law firm. So I don't even feel like they, like, yeah, they make money, but like, do they really make that much money? Like, you know what I mean?
Should have been my research question was, sorry, how much money do junior partners at law firms make?
But I thought about that, but then I was like, we don't even know what kind of law Blake does. So I feel like that would also depend. Like, does he do corporate law or is he doing like family law? I don't know. Anyway, so Ashley is contemplating this all while she's downing glass of wine after glass of wine, okay? And a storm is rolling in, and all of a sudden she feels like something's off in her condo. Like something feels wrong, like something, you know, when you're in a space and you're like, there's somebody else here, or like something's going on, or like there's something else.
Right.
Whatever.
It seems like perhaps all my groceries are about to come alive and be sexual.
Hey, can you keep that thought to yourself, please?
I'm sorry. I'm just making guesses.
So she's like, Blake has a pistol in his... I'm sorry. We're not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about politics.
Go ahead.
But could you imagine how they voted in this election?
I could.
Blake and Ashley definitely voted a certain way in this election. Because she also gives like an erotic paragraph about how it felt shooting off the gun at the gun range and how it made her laugh and giggle when it kicked back. Really? I don't know why that was an erotic paragraph we got, but okay.
Good for Ashley.
So she's like in her house and she's like kind of lurking around and she's like, I need to go to the bedroom and get that pistol. But she has to go through like kind of the kitchen area first. And when she goes there, there's no one in the kitchen per se, but the grocery bag, when she had left her grocery bags in there, they were all still full. Like she hadn't put anything away.
Right.
We just now pretty much all the groceries are gone. Bags are on the floor, and even like the quart of yogurt that she had was open and empty and like dripping onto the counter. Like she was like, did somebody just like Goldilocks me? Like, yes. What the fuck?
I just got supermarkets sweeped.
Yeah, literally in my own home. And so she rushes to the counter and gets a butcher's knife, you know, to hold her over while she's going through the house still.
Pistol in one hand, butcher's knife.
No, she doesn't have
the
pistol yet. She needs to get to the bedroom.
Oh, she
but she's worried she's going to like run into somebody. So she gets a knife for the meantime.
Cool.
And then she runs to the bedroom and gets the Smith & Wesson revolver from their, like, I don't know what cowboy thing we're living in, but like
specific.
Yeah. And she gets it. And as soon as she turns around with the revolver in her hand, she sees an outline of a big, tall, muscular man in the hallway. But when he's... You're like so giddy. You're like waiting
for whatever this is about to be.
When he steps forward, he wasn't just a man. Mm-hmm. He was the groceries.
He wasn't just a man. The groceries.
He was the groceries. She recognized all of them. Okay. This is a very long description of what he looks like, but you're going to love every second of it.
No, I'm buckled in. Let's go.
Okay. Okay. Quote, a large sack of flour formed the thing's abdomen, and it had a broad chest and shoulders composed of packages of ground beef. The rounded slabs of meat, I don't know, I think I wrote this wrong. Oh, give it a sculpted muscular look that matched its bulging eggplant biceps.
Not where I thought the eggplant would be.
No. This whole description is going to kind of be a wild trip. Okay. So at the end of the forearms, each one made up of ears of corn still in the husk, orange hands clenched and unclenched, and she saw each knuckle was a baby carrot. Atop its shoulders sat a head of iceberg lettuce that she'd meant to turn into a wedge salad with blue cheese dressing. Now it gazed back at her with black olive eyes that somehow conveyed a disturbing intelligence. The upper body sat atop thick loaves of bread. Between those whole grain thighs hung a long, thick cucumber and a pair of smooth, ripe nectarines.
Oh.
And Ashley's wonderful Shakespearean quote to come after this description is, quote, oh my God, it's not an it, it's a he.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So the first thing she obviously thinks is, I've lost my mind, as many of our main characters do when they encounter sentient objects.
Groceries, man.
Yeah. But she reasonably considers her pistol probably won't do anything against the iceberg lettuce head. So she asks him, who are you? And he reveals himself to be Zaka. Am I saying that correctly? Do you know?
I hope so. Because that's how I was going
to
say it.
Okay. Would you like to tell us who Zaka is, please?
Yeah. Sorry. I have a lot of questions about how this entity looks.
Yeah. No. It's pretty wild. And like I said, we're going to get more descriptions of more of his features. But... as of right now, I cannot quite parse together. I know that she explained that she was going to make a wedge salad. I get that part. But some of the other ingredients she has in here, I'm questioning why she picked them up.
A whole sack of flour and some corn and some carrots and ground beef.
Yeah.
Like a lot of bread.
Yeah. Wait, but we're going to get more. So just wait. But again, I want you to also recall for the rest of this book that his fingers are baby carrots.
I will recall. I've already drawn them.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Will you please tell us who Zaka is?
Yes. My research is going to be so quick today. And the title is called This Is Exactly Right.
Amazing. That's a great one.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much to visithaiti.com, HaitianArtSociety.org, and Wikipedia for the information I'm about to tell you. I'm going to tell you that when I researched this topic, I didn't find any entities made of groceries.
I'm just gonna
set that out right now. And I just a blanket apology for my pronunciations on all this stuff. I'm just trying my best.
Yeah.
So Zaka, also known under a lot of different names, but commonly Kozen Zaka. I'm just gonna call it Zaka because that's something we've agreed is how we're going to pronounce it for the purposes of this podcast, is an entity in Haitian voodoo. It's one of many called Lowas, I think. There's a bunch of them. Think of them as like a spiritual intermediary between God and mortals. Like in Haitian voodoo, these entities are basically like, the easiest thing I could compare them to is like a patron saint. In Catholicism, there are like lots of saints of different things, like the patron saint of lost stuff, the patron saint of doctors, and the patron saint of pets, stuff like that. It's sort of the same thing. And these different loas are just kind of like helping watch over things, taking care of different kind of parts of humanity and the earth. Zaka in particular is a farmer and has the ability to bring prosperity in the field. So he's often depicted wearing a straw hat and carrying like a machete and a woven grass bag. And he helps hardworking people and he loves all Haitians. And on Labor Day in Haiti, which is on the 1st of May, Zaka consumes laziness and idleness.
Oh.
You know, so we can get that harvest right.
Nice.
But okay. Yeah, at no point did I see a depiction of this that looked like groceries.
No.
So that's that.
Okay. Because she provides, wait, is that all the research? I just want to make sure. Okay,
that's
okay,
it.
Okay. So she provides like a 2-sentence report on Zaka in this book and is like, I saw a lot of stuff because I grew up in this community, like of the, you know, New Orleans community, that like we were exposed to the Haitian population and their beliefs and the voodoo ideology and like all this. And she's like, when I was in the school library, I had seen him depicted as a gentle farmer with dark skin and dirty hands, quote, not as some sort of grocery store Frankenstein.
I second that.
Yeah.
I didn't see a food-based entity in my research.
No, didn't either.
That's okay.
But at this moment, Ashley does a like That's So Raven flashback to the old lady from the grocery store. And she was like, oh, maybe she wasn't even an old homeless woman. Maybe she was like a witch coming to like curse me, blah, blah, blah. Okay. We all predicted that. Yeah. Okay,
yeah. Great. I mean, yeah, for
okay,
sure.
Great. All right. So she asks him what he wants. And he says, quote, to plant my seed, rise woman, give me what's mine. End quote. So she's unable to resist his command. So he comes over and is like caressing her with his baby carrot fingers. And she starts massaging his cucumber. And I do want you to know he licks his lips because we have a fascination with lips on this podcast. When
yes,
it's,
I've been meaning to ask.
Yes. He does. He doesn't technically have like lips because it's iceberg lettuce. But he does have a tongue, which might be a thick slice of ham from what she can see that she picked up at the deli.
Terrible. The implications of that are terrible.
Why? Why do you say that, huh?
Because if he goes down on her, it's going to be ham.
Spoiler alert, he will not go down on her.
Well, thank God, because think of the
no ham. Not thank God, because let's think of the women, because she does go down on him. So anyway, we'll get there.
I feel like
this was very unfair. Not that I want Ashley to have anything good in life, because honestly I hate the bitch, but I do think
I mean her personality just sucks,
but I do think Zaka should be a little more giving. But that's not his job here. And I'm very, okay, we'll get to this a little later about why I'm so confused, why this was the old woman's initiative. Okay. So again, they are getting frisky with each other. And Ashley is already wet because she's confused and she's horny and she doesn't know. Like most of our female main characters, right? Like,
yeah, confused and horny.
Yeah. So he fingers her. And then when he pulls his little baby carrot fingers away and sucks on them, he says, quote, fertile soil for my seed.
Woof. Okay.
So she goes down on Zaka and has a brief moment of like, wonder what my husband would think if he walked in on this scene. Huh, crazy. And
well, anyway.
At no point, also to show that Ashley is a terrible person, does she ever think I'm cheating on my husband? Like, at no point does she have a moment of like,
Well, if I'm being honest, I assume her husband is cheating on her right now.
We have no, well, we do know that like he's obsessed with his work, but we have no indications that he has cheated on her or that he currently is cheating. He will come into the picture later. And I want you to know there's no, other than like, obviously the age old tale of him going out for drinks after work. Like,
right, you know
what I mean? We don't know for sure if he's just a workaholic or if he is cheating. Okay. So that when I disclosed infidelity, this is what I mean. She's literally cheating on her husband right now.
100%.
Okay. Cool, cool. So Zaka is like guiding her and instructs her to, quote, suckle my fruits, woman.
Okay.
Because his balls, his balls are plums. And I want to know who's buying plums at the grocery store. Where does this come into the equation of her meal that was making?
This is going to sound bad now. I love plums.
I'm not saying so we don't love plums.
I'll buy them to just have them.
You don't or you do?
I do. Absolutely do.
Okay. All right. Well, I can genuinely say that I've never bought plum in my life. But so she's suckling on these fruits, right? And
that is what he asked her to do.
And she follows instructions, apparently. So she thinks that Zaka could give her so much more than her pampered but meaningless existence as a lawyer's neglected trophy wife. That is a direct quote, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so where do you think this is going at this point?
I mean, what I want to happen is for her to have some sort of plea to be taken away by grocery man. But I don't know where they'd go off to.
Yeah.
So I guess that she's just going to get her heart broken by grocery man. And that's maybe the revenge of the lady at the grocery store. I don't know. I can't begin to really guess where this is going. If I'm being honest, I'm really thrown for a loop.
Yeah. Hold on to those thoughts, and we will reevaluate them later. She's blowing his cucumber, like I was mentioning.
I recall.
She's upgraded to the cucumber from the plums. And she's recalling standing in the produce section, deciding between a fairly large cucumber or an enormous zucchini. And she's glad that she made this choice. So.
Well, good.
Good. All right. So that's when he gets her to spread her legs and get her all ready for the penetration.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley says, quote, at that moment, she didn't. Sorry, this is all in third person. So that's this is like her internal dialogue.
Yeah.
Okay. At that moment, she didn't care if his cock was a cucumber or a zucchini or a fucking watermelon. She just wanted it inside her. Ma'am, I hope you care if it's a watermelon.
I have a lot of logistical questions if it's a watermelon. That's all. I would care a little bit.
Yeah, no, I would super duper care. So the sex at this point is pretty simple, but the descriptions are iconic. So again, we're doing very basic, like, she blows him. She's suckling on his plums, I guess.
He asked.
Yeah. And he is now spread-eagled her to our knowledge, missionary style. Okay. But this is what is in the context of the writing. Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
Quote, her fingers trace the bag of flour as she reached around his back, sliding down to feel the pebbled texture of two cantaloupes that formed his tight, hard buttocks.
Amazing.
And then she goes on, and again, two cantaloupes? Like, you're a two-person household. Why do you need two cantaloupes?
One per person, Sarah.
Yeah. Okay,
one per person.
Oh, my God.
Obviously.
She then grips his buttocks so hard. And, like, with her nails, like, the cantaloupe juice starts coming out of his ass.
Oh, no.
But it's, yeah. So anyway.
Oh, no, for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. So she's now begging him for his seed. And I'm a little confused why, because she's had no internal dialogue up until this point about, like, the chance of pregnancy, or, like, what even is going to get inside of me? Should I have bought, you know, a yeast infection kit? I don't know.
Yes, obviously.
But then he turns her around and takes her doggy style. Mm-hmm. I think she's already had one orgasm by this point, and by the end, she will have two. Oh. So, like, I'll, you know, he didn't go down on her with his ham tongue, but
I think that's for the best.
So, what better time than Doggy Style than to reflect on the woman who said, "You gonna get them groceries?"
What better time than Doggy Style time?
Yeah.
That time of the day.
And now she's like, you know, I don't think that was a threat. I think it was a promise.
It was really encouraging.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you're going to get them groceries. Oh.
And then she yells out to her grocery lover, quote, "Come on, baby, give me them groceries. Give me them fucking groceries," end quote.
Wow.
All right. And now I'm going to read directly from a passage. It's maybe one of my favorites, because I can't mentally picture it. Quote, "Inside her, Zaka's cucumber cock swelled like a ripe seed pod ready to burst, and she felt something erupt from its tip in thick, warm gouts."
What?
"A vague image played across her mind, an empty yogurt container lying on its side in the kitchen. Now she knew where that yogurt had gone," end quote. Which, by the way, I thought the same exact thing. When there was turned over yogurt and the yogurt was gone, I was like, that's the cum.
I did not think that.
Oh, well, maybe I'm just perverse enough that I was like,
I'm just going to be honest. I didn't think that.
Okay.
But that wasn't, I bet that will come back to us later as jizz.
Yeah, no, I thought that immediately. And maybe that's just because we've been doing this for too long. When he's done and he's now orgasmed, she's orgasmed twice to my knowledge. He says, quote, "You are ready now, woman, fertile. The next man's seed will find purchase," end quote. What?
What?
And by the way, she just ignores this. She ignores this.
"You're gonna get them groceries."
And she ignores this. And then he literally falls apart.
Well.
He just like crumples. Like all, like the iceberg head like flops off. And then all of it just piles around the room.
Deeply upsetting, first of all.
And she's just like a blissful mess, okay? We are towards the end of our book now. Would you like to guess anything that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Where do you think it's going to go?
Well, first, I'm afraid that she's going to just proceed with making dinner out of those groceries that she just had sex with. And that makes me upset.
Okay.
I'm going to say, in very quick succession, husband comes home. They have dinner. He didn't forget the anniversary. He was just coming by with a surprise. They do have sex. She forgot that all the yogurt cum made her so fertile. And now she's having a baby. What if the baby's groceries?
Oh, okay.
That's in a dream world, the babies are groceries.
With little baby carrot fingers?
The baby carrot fingers, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Well, you are right that Blake comes home. He like says, "Hi, honey," and he walks into the bedroom. She's not in the bedroom anymore. She's like in the kitchen or something. And he finds a mess. You know, like the bed's all rumpled, a puddle of yogurt is on the mattress. All sorts of groceries are all over the place. Flour, footprints everywhere. And he's like, "What the fuck?" And then she comes walking in and he sets eyes on her. And he's like almost hypnotized. And he slowly takes off his jacket. And
he's like, "You seem incredibly fertile."
He's like, "There's something different about you. You're glowing. Have you always been this beautiful?" And Ashley's like, "He hasn't looked at me like this since our wedding day."
That's so sad.
No, that's really fucked up. And then he's like, "I just need to make love to you." And then they hook up. And while they're hooking up, by the way, there's no description of the hookup. They just
hook
go
up.
To bed. And Ashley recalls Zaka's word, and she knows she's going to bear Blake's baby. The end.
Ta-da!
No! Are you shitting me? Are you shitting me? The amount of plot holes? Look, you can say a lot about our books we cover on this podcast, but all of them have a nice little tiny bow at the end, okay? Let's talk about how their marriage is a wreck, and now they're going to have a baby? Now they're going to have a baby?
Yeah, that lady in the parking lot cursed her to have a terrible marriage with a child.
Yes. Okay. But like, that's what I don't get, because she's so happy that she's going to have a baby at the end. Like, she makes this connection. She's like, I'm going to have his baby. Yay. And I'm like, well, first of all, again, is he cheating on you? Why is he spending so much time at the office?
Yeah.
Like,
I have a lot of concerns.
He forgot your anniversary. Also, we're just going to ignore all the groceries everywhere. Okay. He just became hypnotized by your fertileness. Mm-hmm. And fertility is really what I meant.
Fertility,
I think.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
And then we have on top of it, did the woman curse her or bless her? And then, like, if she blessed her with this baby, then so why generous. Would she? Because she's an elitist prick. Okay.
That lady's just really nice.
Look, justice for the old lady. I just.
Yeah, it was. Very God, generous old
fuck,
lady.
Fuck Ashley. Like, I'm genuinely so mad. I got done with this book. I was like, are you shitting me? Because the worst part was I was at like 70% and it ended because there was so much extra stuff at the end, like extra pages from the author and like teases to her other books that I was like, wait, hold on. I thought I was going to get like 30% more of this book, and there's not 30% more of the book. So how do you feel? How do you feel?
I mean, I still had fun.
Really? I thought you'd be livid.
I mean, yeah, some things have occurred that I'm not thrilled about.
Yeah.
But overall, still a delightful experience.
Okay. So let's jump into the scorecard.
Okay.
Diversity, I really felt like this was fucked on so many levels. Because, yeah, you can include a Haitian voodoo demigod of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And to my understanding of the description you gave and the description we had in the book, it sounded like they were similar. Like, she at least got some things right about them. But, like, I felt like this was very racially charged, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. And then also confusing because that entity is not made of, like, vegetables or food or groceries. It's a person. So
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Really fascinating all around.
Yeah. Anyway, so skip that because I just feel gross about that. So anyway, plot, I'm giving it a 1 because nothing came around to be finished whatsoever. Anniversary dinner, never addressed again.
Zaga absolutely finished. Thank you very much.
You're right. But even, okay, anniversary dinner, never addressed again.
Probably for the best because those groceries are fucked literally and figuratively.
Even if they would have gotten takeout in an epilogue, I would have appreciated that. Okay. But then she's an asshole to an old woman in a grocery store parking
lot.
That's
bad.
And then doesn't get any karma from it other than getting nailed so she can have a baby in a toxic marriage, but then has a fleeting thought at one point that maybe he could give her a better life than her current life. But then that doesn't come to fruition whatsoever. Like, what was the plot? Tell me, Hope. Tell me what the plot was.
I mean, I think that the plot is for us to imagine after this point what happens, like what sort of journey the characters go on when she's pregnant. And maybe it... I don't think it's going to save their marriage, but maybe they'll have a really emotional journey in their marriage because of the pregnancy. I don't know, Sarah.
What would you like to give it as a rating?
A 2, because you still fucked groceries.
She still fucked groceries. Okay, the smut, I'm going to give it a 3 because we just did, she went down on him and suckled his produce, or what was it? Suckled his plums, and then he nailed her.
Mm-hmm.
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 I'm giving it a 3. What are you giving it?
I'll give it a 2.5.
Wow. What's your reasoning?
I just wasn't that impressed.
Oh, I'm so glad that we're on the same. Well, I'm on a more pessimistic page than you are, but
well, yeah. I like to be nice about it.
You're very nice. Okay, we have a link to our cover there. If you wouldn't mind telling our listeners.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, canonically, this cover has big old dick on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says in a pretty regular font, bagged by the, and then groceries is in sort of a horror font. This is all at the top. And then there's like, weird kind of like upward looking side profile picture of a woman with her eyes closed and like her mouth kind of open, which I'm having to bring up because there's a weight. Do you think that looks like a cucumber, Sarah?
No, that's for sure right. Very prickly cucumber, but
right.
But it's still, it's a cucumber.
Okay, there's sure. There's a big cucumber off to the side, which we know is the grocery man's dick. So it's just like a big old cucumber dick next to a lady's face.
Yeah,
and it's by Fanny Tugger.
Okay, what are you gonna give it for?
A 3.5, because it could be better, but it's funny because it implies a big giant dick on the cover of the
book. No, that's fair. I think I'll give it a 3. I'll be kind. I was going to give it a 2, but I'll be kind. Because I'm going to come out then with, I'm trying to do math while I'm talking. That doesn't work. A 46%. This may be my lowest score.
Sure.
And you ended off at, hold on, a 53.3%. I think that this is our lowest ranking all around. I don't think we've ever been lower than this.
But just because it's low doesn't mean we didn't have a good time doing it.
We had a good time except for the beginning. The beginning was
not great. I didn't enjoy any of that. I have to be honest.
I was just really hoping when I was reading it, I was like, this is so disgusting. Like, I really hope that there's like a lesson at the end of this that she was like, you know what? I shouldn't judge people. I need to appreciate what I have and like be happy that I pay taxes. I don't know.
The lesson is be careful when you're buying groceries, because if you buy the exact right combination of groceries, you will create an anatomically correct grocery man.
Imagine if she would have just bought one plum and he had a singular ball.
There's a lot of opportunity to switch up anatomy, just like changing some groceries around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is your moment?
Yogurt cum, probably.
Really?
I don't think
that's the most wild
thing. I'm personally proud of you for when you were reading it, seeing the yogurt on the counter and being like, that's gonna come back as jizz later. Because I just was like, that signifies that all the groceries got up and went somewhere.
Again, I think I've just read too many of these by this point that I'm like, I know what to look for in a 40-page book.
I guess I just thought because he had cucumber dick that it would just be like inside of cucumber.
That's fair. Never knew what it tasted like. I mean, I guess, what is it? Greek yogurt? Is it AE dairy?
True.
No.
Is it flavored or not flavored? Because it could be like blueberry, strawberry, banana. It could be peach.
With a little bit of cucumber juice in there.
Just like, presumably, but I guess I don't know.
Okay, so you're... Any other say smart moments for you?
All of her groceries came together to form a man. That in and of itself was pretty fucked up. I wasn't thrilled about the parts of his body that were a flour bag and also ground beef to form muscles and pecs.
And if she were to touch that beef and then like...
Foodborne illnesses.
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
Foodborne illnesses.
Obviously, you guys just heard my laundry list of complaints with the plot, but I'm also concerned that, like, she didn't think about the pregnancy aspect. He kept saying seed. He said seed numerous times to her, and she would never.
Even after that, like, you would think she would have at least thought, I'm going to get pregnant with groceries.
Yeah. Right? Or, like,
minimum.
I know it's good to have yogurt when you have a yeast infection, not shove yogurt up your vagina. Like, no.
That's never good.
No. So, look, I hope that, you know, the baby's okay. I hope the baby grows up in a stable home. But I also hope Ashley gets her vengeance. Like, I hope she gets revenge on her. Like, she herself gets karma'd. Like,
I hope the baby is completely normal, except maybe both of its eyes are olives.
Or little fingers, little orange fingers.
Little baby carrot baby fingers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cover up my cucumber portion of this drawing because it's honestly too phallic.
I don't think so.
No, it really is. It doesn't even look like a cucumber. So I've done it twice.
Okay.
My first one. The less detailed. We've got like vegetal head.
Yeah.
We've got.
I like that detail.
Vegetal, sorry, oops. We've got his arms of eggplant and also corn. And then these are all kinds of baby carrots making hands. This is a, both a bag of flour and this is corned beef. His legs and feet are all bread.
Okay, because yeah, we didn't get a description of like the rest. We only got his like thighs.
I just assumed it was all bread. I made his feet loaves of bread. His shins are like long baguettes.
Yeah,
an entirely bread man.
Bread man, the true gingerbread man.
And I did, for the listeners, draw his cucumber dick and plums, but it was too much. I decided it was too much.
Mm-hmm. We'll put a censor over that for the. Little
maybe I would recommend it.
Our post. Okay, well, that's our book. You can find us if you so choose on TikTok, Instagram, and Blue Sky at As They Smell Podcast. Additionally, we'd love to hear your book recommendations. Send those our way via email at theysmellpodcast@gmail.com. I am so excited for the holiday season.
Boo.
And the books I have lined up for it. So we would also love it if you popped us a rating or review on the podcast platform of your choosing. And we look forward to our enemies to lovers arc. If you are unsatisfied and if you're not, we hope that we were insta love for you. So, but hey, be kind to women in parking lots, in grocery parking lots, pay your taxes. Gosh, what else can we advise them?
Paper bags are better for the environment, but if you're going to fuck your groceries, consider using plastic.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and stay smutty.
Yeah, stay smutty. We'll see you later. Don't fuck your groceries, please.
Bye.
Bye.